Yesterday, it was the news that Kyrie Irving has asked to be traded out of Cleveland, wants to move away from the Cavaliers, wants to go somewhere where he can be the man on a team, so to speak. And LeBron James is reportedly disappointed. But
think?
He is all of a sudden wondering what his options are now with 1 year remaining in Cleveland. And it once, like, just the idea of this, where is Kyrie going to go, and how many big time trades have already happened? Big time players have moved in the NBA. Paul George, Jimmy Butler have already been traded in this one offseason. Now we could see Kyrie Irving get moved. Like, this is three top 15 players in the league. Where else would that happen?
This is the dream scenario for any major sports league, that you can own the news cycle during your offseason, especially for the NBA in 2017, where I think it's fair to argue that the offseason is more intriguing than the regular season.
Yep.
where, you know, we are all talking about what is the West going to look like next year. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, we're looking at, like, what is going to happen with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you've got players who are, you know, dropping emojis all over Twitter and having fun with it. And there seems to be no holds barred, where other leagues would try and shut that kind of thing down.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA is kind of embracing all that. And it really is exciting to see what is going on with player movement in this league.
You talk about them winning the news cycle during the off season. They couldn't win the news cycle during the playoffs until the final.
Right.
Right. And then
when
the final's being played, they win the news cycle because everyone's saying this is too predictable. Right. You know, are the Cavs going to win a game? I don't know. I mean, the NBA off season, to me, some people will say it's a soap opera. To me, it's a soap opera takeoff on SNL, or, you know, a progressive insurance commercial with Susan Lucci. And Kyrie Irving is walking down the stairs hand in hand with her, saying, trade me. I don't know. I mean, buyer beware on Kyrie Irving. He's a talented guy, but
doesn't play much defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is not a league where you need to worry about playing defense right now. Not really, anyway. I mean, I don't know. Gary, he's one of the best point guards in the world. I wouldn't be buyer beware too much on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, if he sours on the Cavs coming off an NBA final, right? I mean, how's he going to sour on you?
I think, though, that if you look back, you know, Kyrie Irving was drafted first overall, had signed a big deal with the Cavs, and 2 weeks later, LeBron comes in, and you're no longer the face of the franchise. Oh, and we just traded Andrew Wiggins, who was, you know, who could have potentially formed a dynamic duo with Kyrie. And now you know that LeBron James is going to leave Cleveland and when he does, that franchise will be in a mess and will be unable to get out of that mess for quite some time. So this is Kyrie's power move, where he's saying, I'm going first, man. Like, you're going to abandon ship. I'm jumping out now. And I think it's smart. Like, I think if he can go and chase rings and add to his legacy in somewhere else and not have to be the guy who is trying to, you know, hold up the tent when everybody else is leaving, I think that's a smart play.
You know what? He got a ring, you know, trips to the NBA final.
Yep.
You know, he's well paid for that.
Yep.
You know,
but this is the NBA in 2017, where the players have all the leverage. They're the ones who are deciding where they're going to play and with whom. And Kyrie Irving is deciding for himself right now.
And yeah. I think the other thing too is what I like about it from Kyrie's perspective is, you know, we've seen a shift in the NBA where players are joining up with each other, and we're seeing guys trying to make super teams wherever they can. We saw it in Golden State, and we saw it with the Miami Heat, obviously, and the Boston Celtics to a certain extent as well. But for Kyrie, this is kind of old school, traditional NBA, where you want to go to a place and you want to say, I want to be the man here. That alpha dog type of feel where Kyrie says, I want to go to the Knicks and I'm going to make them better. Like, oh, I kind of admire that about him. I don't know if he's that good of a player to do it, but I admire that about him is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The punishment for that hubris would be a trade to the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yes, there is some ego involved in any top flight athlete.
Imagine.
And that's fair. There's ego involved in everybody, whether you're a radio host or an NBA superstar.
Don't look at me.
Okay. But I think, you know, Kyrie wants to go somewhere where he can either be the focal point of an offense or where he knows that you're not just like holding your breath until the whole thing falls apart when the other guy decides for sure to leave. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's what these guys are doing these days in the NBA. Making decisions for themselves. He was drafted to Cleveland. Do you think he would have ever chosen to go to Cleveland and play in Ohio in the first place? No. Then he signed a big deal to stay there. He showed some loyalty. Then
LeBron comes in.
LeBron comes in and starts running the show.
They go to three straight finals.
And granted, he's seen regular season success. He's won a ring. He's been to three finals. He's got that experience, and he never would have gotten it if LeBron hadn't come. And I'm sure Kyrie Irving is the first to say that. But now he knows that he's going to be left amidst the wreckage, and he wants out.
Can the guys in the booth rewind this to the point where you said he showed some loyalty and re-signed with Cleveland?
Well, what do you mean?
He made a business decision. Right.
Sure.
I don't know that he was thinking like, let's do this, you know, I'll be true to my school or something like that.
No, I mean, yes, I'm sure he signed where he could get the most money. And that's, you know, that's understandable. But what I mean is he decided to sign on long term with the franchise that drafted him. And not everybody does that. Right. But he did it, and thinking he was going to be the face of the team and they were going to build around him. And then
I don't think he's thinking that, oh, you made me all that I am.
No, but I mean, it's hard to say, oh, and then LeBron James was foisted upon him. Like it's not really a raw deal when you get the best player arguably ever to join your team. And you get to go to three finals and win one. But I understand where somebody can feel like all the loyalty or goes to the other guy now. And then when that guy leaves, what am I supposed to do with what's left over?
I'm sure that there are a bunch of NBA teams that are looking to have LeBron James foisted upon them.
No, and that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say like, it's ridiculous to think like, oh, woe is me, I had to play with LeBron. Like, obviously that's not something any sane person would say. I can just see Kyrie's perspective where he doesn't want to be the face of a franchise that is in ruins because of going for it for three straight years. And then the guy who got you there has decided to leave.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, you're saying that he showed loyalty in re-signing with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And now sort of that loyalty has, you know, evaporated. And he's looking out for number one now.
Yeah, but yeah. I think also, you're right. I am saying both
I'm sure
of those
he was
things.
Looking out for number one in the first place.
Yeah, okay. And that's a fair point. But I also think when he signed his deal compared to, like, the NBA is a different landscape now. We're seeing these guys go everywhere and decide their own fates rather
player
than having
movement and big time
decide.
Player movement. And I think when it comes to the Cavs situation specifically, I don't think their owner is, you know, is also a big part of this conversation as well. The way that he fired David Griffin, the general manager, just before the draft, or didn't fire him, but released him of his contract that was set to expire on June 30th, just before the draft was going down. And obviously LeBron made it public that he wasn't too happy. Kyrie's made it public that things are curious, or whatever the word was that he used about the team. So like the Cleveland Cavaliers and Dan Gilbert has them in shambles a little bit. And I think that's a big part of this conversation as we talk and we see the Cavs who it seemed like things were falling apart a little bit mid or towards the end of the season there. They figured it out towards the playoffs, got it back together in their playoff run, and now things are falling apart again. And I wonder what that means for the rest of the Eastern Conference, too. What do the Cavs get back? Because usually in NBA trades, the team giving up the big player, they don't normally get anything of real value back. Like, just look at what Indiana got for Paul George. It isn't very much. Look at what the Chicago Bulls got for Jimmy Butler. It isn't very much. What are the Cavs going to get for Kyrie Irving? I don't know. And it's probably not going to be of equal value. And that, to me, might open up just a little bit more of a crack in the Eastern Conference door.
Potentially. I mean, I guess if there's no Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, that's good for the Toronto Raptors. That's one less player in the conference who's likely better than every player on your roster. So that's good.
Yeah.
Let him go to the Knicks, please.
Yeah. I mean,
Kyrie and Kristaps.
Yeah.
Although you'd think that Cleveland would be asking for Kristaps. Right? I mean, I don't think
seems
that,
like they're asking
I think
for Melo.
Knicks would be crazy to give up on him. Melo, I don't understand that deal because Melo is a ball stopper. Melo, you know, like he's not the Carmelo Anthony of 5 years ago or whatever. He's not the dynamic offensive player that he once was. So that would be more like we're swapping out like contract for contract. But I mean, then you get into like.
But then Cleveland's like, going to just be a black hole.
Exactly.
Melo's going to opt out at the end of this year and LeBron would opt out at the end of this year.
They're going to be a black hole regardless because LeBron's going to leave. So that makes them a black hole. So
that opens the door for the Raptors is basically what we're kind of saying here.
Or does LeBron James say, trade me too? Then what happens?
Well, that's the doomsday scenario there. And, you know, history would show that these trades just don't work out in favor of the team trading the unhappy camper and established player, the all-star talent, and I mean, this goes as far back as Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You just go back and analyze trades for players in situations like that, and you're probably getting multiple players that add up to not a fraction of the centerpiece of the trade. If there's a trade for LeBron James, I mean, what you'll get in return are future trivia questions.
Yeah, there's no way you can get fair value for LeBron James. No, and you'd be looking for something along the lines of what Boston and Brooklyn worked out with all those first round picks, right? I mean, like, you'd be basically saying we're going to tear it down and rebuild like they did in Philly.
Right. And I think if you're Cleveland, like, why? There's no point, because even just having LeBron still makes you the best team in the Eastern Conference.
But here's
most
the thing
likely
is,
to go back to the NBA final.
It's like LeBron's decision.
Right.
Right. He would go to Dan Gilbert and say, trade me, or I want out.
Right.
Just, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say that LeBron James has had a lot of say in the roster makeup of the Cleveland Cavaliers since he came back from Miami. And if he decides he wants out, then he'll get out.
Yeah. You know what? Just like in trying to think of how you could put a trade together, you know, when you're talking about the draft picks, I'd want those picks to be lottery protected. If they're not in the lottery, I'm going to defer to next year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no way to unscramble the egg on this one. The Cavs are in a desperate situation, and I have trouble feeling sympathy for an owner who's really sort of like a big market loan shark. So I can't think of five owners worse than Dan Gilbert in professional sports. So any misfortune that visits him, I will applaud.
And I had a conversation with a radio host in Cleveland earlier this week, and he says Clevelanders are still. Like, they'd still be more upset at LeBron than they would be at Dan Gilbert should he leave after this season and opt out of his contract. And that is baffling to me. I have no idea how they come to that sort of conclusion, but hey, I'm not from Cleveland, so I don't, I guess.
Neither is Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, I don't understand those optics at all, really.